Proverbs 18. We've been talking about aligning our faith and our heart with the words of our mouth, that we would express and agree with what God says about your life and about whatever situation you may be facing. Proverbs 18 and verse 20 says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Death and life. And we've been talking about where that death and life can be directed in our life. One area we talked about was when we speak words, they affect our heart. That is, what we believe about God, what we believe about our future. The words that we say affect our heart. The words that we say must agree with what God says. When God changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of many nations, he needed to say what God said about who he was. And how many of you know God has had many wonderful things to say about you and your life? And so we must accept what he says and say what he says. Last week we talked about Mark 11:23, speaking to the mountains in our life, that they must go, that they have to go and be cast in to the sea. Amen? Somebody sent me a message and they said, "Splash, splash, Pastor. That's the sound of mountains going into the sea." Amen? Now, I want us to look at something today that is a truth, but it is a challenge sometimes to apply in our life. And that is, how can we say and express our faith in God when the circumstances around us don't look that way? God says it's blue and everything around you says it's red. How do we do that? Now, there was a time in Israel's history where God was saying, all right, it's time to rise up. And in Joel 3:10, he says, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Now, why would you be able to say, "I am strong," if you're weak? Because that's what God says. He said that he will fill you with strength. He is the strength of your life. Amen? And so therefore, even though we feel weak or look weak, or other people tell us, "Boy, you sure look weak," we can rise up and say, "I am strong in the strength of the Lord." In fact, he is the one who tells us when we're weak, say, "I am strong." You see, faith is the evidence of things that we don't see. So that means we have to say things from another source of evidence other than what our senses are telling us. If God has declared something, if God has said something, and you know it, then say what he says, regardless of what you see and regardless of what you feel. Amen? A friend of mine puts it this way: you'll never go wrong saying what God says. You'll never go wrong saying what God says. Now, I'd like us to see three separate instances in the Bible where God's people did this. That is, they said something even though that which was around them didn't look good. Circumstances, situations. Turn with me to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers, the 13th chapter. Now, the children of Israel had been wandering around the wilderness for close to 40 years now, even though it could have taken 4 months. The length of their journey was not determined by God, and it wasn't even hindered by the devil. It was because of their choices. And they made a lot of bad ones. Four different times in the Bible, we are told that that's an example. Learn from them so you don't do the same thing. All right? And I've discovered in life, some people have learned and some people have not learned what the children of Israel did. Now, they are about to enter into the promised land. All right? They're almost there. And Moses wants to know what the land is like. God had given a promise. God says, "It is yours." And he had even described what it was like. He said, now I'm going to send 12 guys from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and I want them to go. And they were given a very specific job description. All right. Look what he says. Numbers 13:17. He says, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. What was he saying? Don't be afraid of what you see, right? Now we'll see later that there was a group of 10. They did some of what Moses told them to do, but they forgot that part, to be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of the land. All right, so they went, and now let's remember, these were spies, right? This was clandestine work, all right? They were going in, nobody knew them. They were going in just to see what was going on, and they were to get out without making any contact, all right? So they go in there, and now they're coming back with their report. In verse 27, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. There were grapes that had to be carried by two men on a stick. Now, how many of you have ever seen grapes that big? I've not seen grapes that big. This was an awesome place. All right. And now they are verbalizing. They are saying what they saw. All right. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. Ites, everywhere, Ites. All right? Now, what you're going to find in life is that when God gives you promises and God has places for you to go in life, there will be opposition. There will be things that you have to face. All right? Verse 30. Now, so these were the 10 spies that came and gave this report. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb could tell that the words that these guys were saying were producing fear in the hearts of Israel. They were hearing the words, big giants, Malachites, Canaanites, Ites. And they probably saw the whites of their eyes. Women were holding onto their babies. Tears were coming down the old people's eyes. And now he quiets them. He says, let us go up. We are able. The verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Moses ask for verse 31? Was that some of the input that he had asked for? I want you to go into the land, see what the people are like, bring me back fruit, and then you make a judgment call whether we're stronger than they are or they're stronger than we are. He didn't ask them to do that, but they did it anyway. They were now responding to what they saw. They were making a judgment. We are not strong enough to go up against them. And the children of Israel gave a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Now, the question is, some of this is embellished. All right? We were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were like grasshoppers in their sight. The question is, did they send a TV crew? IBC, Israeli Broadcasting Corporation. And they had cameras, and the guy had a, he said, I'm just here representing Moses and this big army you've heard about. And I'm one of the 12 tribes. I just want to let you know, these 11 guys before you, did they look like grasshoppers to you? Because we kind of think of ourselves as grasshoppers. How about you? Did they bring back a video? No. They were now making assumptions about what they saw. And what you'll notice is that everything about what they reported, God was not in their report. The plan of God, the heart of God, the promises of God, it simply was not there. And friend, in life, that's what's going to happen sometimes. Maybe there's a doctor report and you get the doctor report. And instead of your cousin full of faith and joy, they're going to say, wow, that's what killed mom. In fact, that's what killed our uncle and our auntie and three of our cousins too. Well, I didn't ask you for that. Right? People will begin to speak things. Now, Caleb tried to quiet the people, but it didn't work. When the people heard this report, they said, all right, let's get rid of Moses and Aaron. God gave them to us as our leaders, but we're tired of them. We'll pick our own people and we'll go back to Egypt. Now listen to this, folks. If you want to go where God is not sending you, then you're going to have to go with a leader that is not given to you by God. Hello? Because a godly leader will take you where God wants you to go. Amen? Kicking and screaming. Right? These, for 40 years, they were whining and complaining. But when God has a destination, find out where God is going and hook up and go with God. Amen? So they said, no, we want to go back. We've already been out close to 40 years, but we're going to go back to Egypt. All right? This wasn't the first time they thought of that brilliant idea. All right? So their conclusion was made based on what they saw. Now, my question to you is, friend, what will you say about what you see? When you hear a report, when you see things around you, what will you say about what you see? Will it only be based on the facts, or will it be based on what God says? Will faith be in your response? Now, Caleb, all right, he saw the same thing, but came away with a different conclusion because he saw it with God. I believe that the two spies, as they went in and they saw this land, yes, they saw the giants, but you know what they else? They saw streams where they could go fishing. They saw a hill where they're going to put their house. They saw great valleys where they were going to farm. They saw it from a different perspective because when they saw it, they realized, this is my land. God gave this to me. And here's the thing, friend. You've got to know in life what belongs to you. Do you know what Jesus came to give you in life? And when circumstances tell you you can't have it, when other people tell you you can't have it, just say, you know what? I am well able and I'm going to go in right now. And I am going to have what God has. The other spies said, we are not able. Now, unfortunately for the children of Israel, this was a pattern in their life. What do I mean? They were constantly saying the wrong things. They left Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. And some of them began to think, oh, the cucumbers of Egypt. Oh, the onions were so wonderful. They forgot that they were eating cucumbers as slaves. They didn't have a decision about what their life was going to be like. Oh, yeah, I know we were a slave, but boy, were the cucumbers good. I don't know about you. I've had cucumbers. They're not that good. That you would disobey God. God sent manna from heaven, supernatural food. And instead of saying, God, thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for this supernatural provision in our life. After a while, what did they say? Manna, manna, manna. Is this all you've got? We want meat, God. Manna pancakes, manna bread. Manna samosas. Manna meal. And so they complained against God. They constantly were saying, we don't really like Moses and Aaron. We don't like those guys. Who, in fact, Moses, who made you leader? Huh? Who did that? And Aaron, you think you're the priest? You know what? All of us are anointed. We can be priests too. Remember that one? They would say, we're all going to die in the desert. God brought us out here. Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. Other times they would say, you know, when are we going to get there? They got all the way to the promised land and a whole group of them said, we're going to stay on this side of the Jordan. Moses, do we have your permission? We're almost there, but we don't want to go across. Now, it's interesting that when the people spoke these ways, and they did it all the time, God said, you have spoken against me. You have spoken against me. You see, whenever we speak out of line with God's plan and purpose, we are speaking against God. Now, how many of you know that would be a really foolish thing to do? Right? In fact, I think the very definition of dumb would be to disagree with God. If God says the sky is blue, then you better call it blue. Amen? And so they were speaking against God's plan, speaking against God's purposes. All right? Thank God there were two that were lined up with God's opinion. Now, I know in our day and age, and people, even secular folks, write books and give speeches about being positive. You can do it. You know, they say before you hit a golf shot, you should see it going the right direction. And that's always a problem for me because I see it going in the right direction, but then when I hit it, I don't see what I saw. All right? Because I'm not sure God is really involved in my golf swing. All right? But people talk about visualization. People say, you know, don't see the glass half empty. See it half full. When life gives you lemons, just make lemonade. Put on a happy face. See, the spies were not that way. They were not just cheerful and happy and let's just see life from the good side. No, they had reason to believe what they believed. Because God, years and years ago, told Abram, this land, and he gave him the place, that land belongs to you and your descendants. So if I'm a descendant of Abraham, that's my land. And if you're on my land, I've got bad news for you. This land is my land. And you're going to have to go. Whether you're Jericho, whether you're a giant, whether you're an Amalekite or a Canaanite, I don't care what kind of a person you are. You're in my land and this belongs to me. And God Almighty gave it to me. So they had reason to say what they were saying. Their evidence was based on what God said, and they didn't forget it. All right? Do you know what God has said about the situation you're facing? Do you know what God has said about your future? Friend, you've got to know, you've got to agree, and you've got to speak what he says. Let's look at another example. Psalm 3. Psalm 3. So these spies, they saw the physical evidence. They saw people that were standing in their way. It seemed too impossible for them to be able to do. David had faced a lot of situations in his life, a lot of challenges. God had come through for him in many miracles. But now David was facing what I would guess perhaps the greatest challenge of his life. And that was that David was ruling God's people. Things were going well. And he had a son named Absalom. Absalom had long flowing hair. Kind of like my son. Anyway, you'll see some changes in the next month or so. All right. That's his decision. All right. But anyway, Absalom had long flowing hair. He was very good looking. All right. And people really loved Absalom. And so people would come to see David, and Absalom was deceitful. And he'd say, well, you know, David, you know, he doesn't really have the time to see you, but boy, if I was king, boy, I love you. I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. And so the Bible says he won the hearts of the people to himself. And so Absalom decided to take a position that God had not given him, called the king. All right, that was for God to give and God to confer. But he took upon it himself and he won the hearts of many, many people and including those in the military. And so David, people got to David and said, this is what's up. They're coming for you. And so David was running from his own son and David was the king. Now, I know some of you have had relationship problems, but I can't imagine any of us have ever faced anything like this. Your own blood, your own son is trying to kill you, take all of your stuff, and to take your position. That's heavy duty, right? The other thing that's big about it, not only is it scary, I mean, his guys have swords, but think of the emotions. This is a child you raised from a baby, and now this child is against you. So, David was running for his life. He took the Ark of the Covenant and he said, let's go. All right. God was with him and he made sure to include God on his exodus. All right. So David wrote Psalm 3 while he was running from Absalom. Things had not changed. There was no deliverance yet. All right. He was on the run and there were more people with Absalom than with him. All right. So Psalm 3 verse 1. Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Even God can't help him. Now, how many of you have ever been in verse 1 and 2? It's a mess. It's getting bad. People are not even encouraging you. They're just like Job's wonderful wife, curse God and die. Look at verse 3. So in the midst of this, David said, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. That's one of my most favorite phrases in the whole Bible, is when God says, I am the lifter of your head. What happens when you're discouraged? Your head goes down, right? Anybody, I don't know if anybody here is a Manchester City supporter. But somewhere yesterday, your head just went, whoa, right? So God says he comes along and he lifts our chin so that we're looking up and we're looking at him. And he causes us to see things in a different way. Verse 4, I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me from his holy hill. Aren't you glad he hears you? Verse 5, I lay down and I slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. What did he do? He said, David, I will not be afraid. How could he not be afraid? Because of the God whom he put his trust. See, David had a habit of doing this. Just as the children of Israel had a habit of speaking the wrong things, David had a habit of speaking the right things. This giant is just like the lion and the bear. The Lord delivered them into my hands and he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. What was he? He was speaking God's perspective. In 1 Samuel 30, when all of his men, were their families, their stuff was taken captive and they wanted to kill him, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He spoke the right words to himself. Now, notice that Psalm 3 is a song, all right? And one of the things that I believe why God wants us to sing to him and to sing his word, words that are full of life, is because music changes your emotions. Amen? Think if the movie Titanic was set to reggae music. It would kind of lose the mood, wouldn't it? Right? Music changes your emotions. And when you say and when you sing about God and who he is, your emotions change. The perspective gets different. And some of you friends, I would encourage you, if you're facing something, put on music that will help you. Put on music that will change the atmosphere around you. Amen? Well, Pastor, I just like music with a beat. I just like it with a beat. Well, get Jesus in the beat. Amen? Literally, today, there is every single type of music in the world. They're singing about Jesus. Amen? If you like old hymns, we'll put on hymns that talk about Jesus. Amen? Get music around you that will help you. Sing what God says. Now, I can't remember who said it, but there's a question you're going to have to ask yourself. So Absalom is pursuing David. His own army has defected against him. All right. You remember I think it was a reggae song actually. What you gonna do when they come for you? You know that song? I want to ask you, what you gonna do when they come for you? The circumstances, the pain, the problems, the issues of life. What are you going to do? Thank God that David knew about a rock that was higher than David. A rock that is higher than I. I run to the rock of my salvation. Amen? What will you say? What will you sing? What will you do when you face these types of circumstances? Say what God says and put your faith in Him. Now, let's look at another example. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. Now, Israel had been divided. Israel and Judah. All right? And now Judah had a king that wasn't serving the Lord. And so the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, came and conquered Judah. And didn't just kill him, but got them captive. And so they went into captivity in Babylon. All right, so they're in a foreign nation. There are heathens all around, false gods, and they are now captive by a foreign land. All of this because of their disobedience towards God. So Nebuchadnezzar began to realize that there were some of the Hebrews that were different. He noticed one named Daniel, and he noticed that he had an excellent spirit. There was something different about him. And so Daniel became one of his advisors, and Daniel interpreted a dream for him in Daniel chapter 2. And Nebuchadnezzar saw the value of these people. And then there were three other young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these were also Hebrew children, young men, that had not compromised. They hadn't gone the way of the heathens. They were set apart for God's plan and purpose. And Nebuchadnezzar saw them and said, you know what, I'm going to make them leaders as well. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they were young, had places of authority under Nebuchadnezzar. All right, so far, so good. Except in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, not knowing God and being somewhat crazy, made a statue of gold, all right? And it was 30 meters high, all right? 30 meters, I would guess, is about as, it would be taller than the ceiling here. 30 meters high, 3 meters wide. And he said, all right, everyone in the kingdom, when you hear the music, you've got to bow down and worship this statue that I've made out of gold. Now, what's the problem? These Hebrews knew, and they had been raised and taught, that we are to set no God, no graven image, and to worship it above God. To have no graven image, to worship no other God but Jehovah. And so when this declaration came out, they didn't do it. They didn't bow to the idol because they knew what God had said. They had other information other than what the king was saying. All right? Now, this king was not happy with their disobedience. All right, so let's pick up this account. Daniel 3:13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury. Now, how many of you know that's a problem? When the king is in a rage and fury, and it's because of you. It's directed at you. So this is big time problems. All right. He was in a rage and fury, and he gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, LARP, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Oh, now you're messing with my God. You can talk about my mama. You can talk about my brother. But now you've dissed Jehovah. Right? Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And they're thinking, yeah, I know just the God who's going to deliver. Now, so he told them, he said, all right, guys, last chance. I'm going to strike up the music and you're going to bow. If you don't bow, you will burn. And there is a furnace and you will be thrown into it. And by the way, what God will deliver you? Amen. What you will find in life is your God loves a good challenge. He's up for it. All right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Another version says, we are not careful to answer you about this. What it meant was the three guys didn't go and say, excuse me, sir, this is kind of a life or death decision. Do you mind if we have a chat? And they get over there in a huddle and they say, hey, what are you guys feeling? My man, I don't really want, I'm just a young man. I've not even married. I've got plans for my life. You know, maybe we don't have to bow, but maybe when the music starts, we can just give a little dance or something, make him happier. I don't know. What do you think? No, they did not consult. They didn't take time. They didn't pray about it. They said, you know what? We're not even careful to answer you. We will not bow to your God. Now, notice what they say. Now remember, what are we talking about? We're saying what comes out of your mouth when circumstances around you are contrary to God's best. That is, they're giants. They're Amalekites. Absalom is on the run. He's after you. The army has got in their pocket is your name. All right? He said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you. If that is the case, that is, if you're going to try to burn us, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Notice they were still respectful. So our God is able and our God will deliver. You've got to know about your God, friend. When you are facing the challenge, when you are facing the fire, what comes out of your mouth? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, oh, please, please, please. Oh. No. Stand back and speak the word of God. My God is able and my God is willing. And he will, because that was the question from a few verses, right? You asked us what God is able to do this. Well, actually, our God, the God that we serve, is able and he will deliver us. And I love verse 18. But if not, even if our, now he is and he will, but even if our God couldn't and didn't have this power or didn't want to, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And even if our, that is that if our God couldn't do this, that is not part of the equation. We will never serve your gods. He is able and he will deliver us. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you for that sermon. And that really inspired me today. No. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury and the expression on his face changed. How many of you have ever been in a situation where the expression on their face changes? Huh? You're trying to help somebody, you're trying to bless them, and all of a sudden their face changes. Maybe you're a young man and God showed you the woman of your dreams in a dream. There was a halo around her head and you saw her name on a billboard. God put a sign right down, you know, Great East Road. You've got the promise. You've got the power. I've claimed her in Jesus' name. And you say, hey, you want to go out for a movie on Friday night? And the expression on her face changes, not from happiness and joy to pain, agony. Huh? Maybe you're on the other side of the desk and this is the job interview that you know you're going to get. And they look at your CV and you ask a few questions and their face changes. I don't think you're who we're looking for. The doctor comes back with the blood test and his face changes. The banker comes back with your loan application and his face changes. There will be times in life where you will see their face change. And it's not happy change. It's Nebuchadnezzar change. So his face changed and he spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace be changed to 7 times more than it's usually heated. All right, so now he's angrier and now it's even worse. All right? Now, they brought some mighty men of valor to bind them and to be cast into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, this is how hot it was. You're dying outside of the furnace, let alone inside the furnace. How many know this is big time trouble? All right? Things are not okay. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, did we not cast into the furnace three men bound into the midst of the furnace? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. This would be a good time to tell him, true, O king. Yes, whatever you want me to say, king. I mean, he's mad, right? Verse 25. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking. Now, wait a second. They were thrown in bound, right? They were thrown in bound, but now they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Who got into the fire with these three young men? Jesus Christ came. When you declare who God is, when you declare what He will do, Jesus Christ will get in the fire with you. He will come and He will make sure that you're not burned. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, get him out. And they saw in verse 27 that these men whose bodies the fire had no power, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar joined the praise team. Right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He begins to praise God because what he saw is impossible without God. In fact, he changes his mind and says, you know what? Instead of killing these guys, I'm going to make a decree that anybody in Babylon that speaks against this God, notice, I mean, he's really in a good mood now. Verse 29, they shall be cut to pieces. Pieces, that means more than one piece, right? At least two. And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. No other God that can deliver like this. Now, they knew it before they went in. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is now all happy about Jehovah, but that's on the other side of the miracle. You see, this really isn't faith. This is just saying, wow, look what God did. But the three Hebrew children had the faith and the audacity to believe and to say, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of a king whose face is changing, to say, you know what, king? We will not serve your God. Our God is able to deliver and He will deliver. Amen. Praise team, would you come right now? Would you come right now? I believe today we need to act on what we've heard. Some of you are facing situations, and just like when I was thinking yesterday about David and Absalom, and I've got a son, I really can't even imagine the pain and the hurt and the agony that would be in a father's heart. And I realize that some of you are facing things that I would be lying to you if I say I understand. Because I don't. I'm sure the hurt is more than I could even imagine. But yet there is a God that understands. And yes, He comforts you and He is there with you. But more than just understanding, He wants to come into the fire and protect you. He wants what was bound in your life to be loosed in the middle of a troubled and a hurtful situation. Even in the face of a furnace, they said what they believed about God, not what they believed about the king or what they believed about the furnace. You've got to let what God says be higher than any other situation and any other source of evidence. Now, we sang a song during the offering, and I want us to pick up where we left off, because what we're singing about is our God. Not Pastor Walker's God, not the TV preacher's God, but our God. The God that we serve is able. The God that we serve will deliver. Amen? And I don't know what fire you're facing. I don't know what Absalom has come against you. I don't know what giants are in your land. But friend, there is a God who is higher. There is a God who is greater. Amen? Would you stand to your feet and let's declare this. Let these words come from your heart. Let this faith go out into your world. Sing it into the fire. Sing it into the situation right now. Go ahead and lift up your voice. But you're not by yourself. There is one that sticks closer than a brother, and he has not given up on you. He has not given up on the situation. And let me say this to some of you. Some of you are here and you're thinking, well, Pastor, I can't really claim this because I'm the one that got me there. Friend, listen, his mercy endures forever. He meets with us from the mercy seat. And maybe it's not Absalom. Maybe it's not Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe it's not the giants. Maybe it's you. Maybe you are the one that messed it up. Friend, you've got to realize our God is greater than your sin. Our God is greater than your heart. And you got yourself in the mess, but he can get you out if you'll allow him today. Amen? Just close your eyes and declare this into the situation right now. If God is for you, then what can stand against?
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against us? God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Bow your heads with me. If you're here in this place, you are a believer, you're a Christian, but you say, Pastor, you know what? I feel like I'm facing the fire. I feel like these things that are in my life right now, I know I've messed up. I know I did some things that I shouldn't have done. It could be big things, little things, but the pain is real to you. And you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to receive mercy. I need to know that God is for me. Right where you are, God wants to touch you. He wants to minister to you right now, but you need to respond to Him. And you say, Pastor, that's me. You're talking right to me. Go ahead and lift up your hand. Just acknowledge God right now. Just acknowledge God right now. And see, He stopped the whole service to talk to you. And just say, God, that's me. That's me. Lift up your hand. Just lift it up. Just lift it up. Oh, Father, I thank you right now. Every hand that is raised. Father, every mistake that was made. Father, big sins, small sins. Lord, financial mismanagement. Whatever it may have been, the wrong relationship, Father. Right now, Father, thank you that we confess our sin to you and you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, you've not given up on us. Father, thank you that there is a future and a hope in Jesus' name. Oh, friends, those of you with your, if you've responded to God, listen to me. Many, many of you, God is giving you steps about this. That is, you need to go and talk to someone. That is, you need to go and ask for forgiveness. You need to maybe make that which was wrong right. Maybe there's some things that you can do that God will work with. Amen. So allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you and to show you and to help you. Amen. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you for turnarounds, Father. Situations that are turning around. Thank you, Father. We love you, Father. Oh, we bless you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you receive glory, that you are honored even out of. Lord, from these ashes, we will rise in Jesus' name. Right now, you can put your hands down. You can put your hands down. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Walker, I don't know Jesus. I need to be born again. I've never become a follower of God, but today is my day. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian and you say, I've been running from God, but now I'm going to run back to a God who will forgive me and help me and cleanse me. Whoever that is, if you're doing this for the very first time or you say, Pastor, I need to come back to God today. If that's you, I want to pray a prayer with you. And so that we can pray together, I'd ask you right now, wherever you are in this auditorium, simply raise up your hand. Say, that's me. Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to come home from a place of rebellion. I need to come home from a place that's not okay. Anyone? Anyone at all? God loves you. He's reaching out to you. Yes, all the way in the back. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you for that hand. Yes, thank you over here. Anyone else? Say, today's my day. Today's the day I meet Jesus Christ. All right. If that's you, you raised up your hand, I want you to gather your belongings, whatever you brought with you, and come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you. God wants to do a miracle in your heart. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. God bless you so much. God bless you, young lady. Anyone else before we pray? that have come, God loves you. God cares about you. And the Bible makes it very clear that we open up our heart to God through faith. All right? That which we believe in our heart and that which we confess with our mouth. And so I just invite you right now, just go ahead and close your eyes. And why don't you lift up one of your hands towards God, because that's who we're talking to right now. And say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died for my sin. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm a brand new person. I leave my old sin and I turn and follow you. Thank you, Father, I'm in your family. I'm one of your children. In Jesus' name. Amen.